Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
So Luka Doncic out of the NBA playoffs. That might not be a great thing for the NBA, even though an LA market team does stay alive. And the Clippers, they get the win. They win game seven over the Mavericks. They move on to play the Jazz. And J. Will starts now worry at his conference final.
Donovan Mitchell, just get the hotel ready in Utah.
Will be.
I feel it.
What is your worst case scenario for the Western Conference Final for you?
Because I mean, it's again, not going to be worst case. Not worst case.
Come on now. There's always a worst case.
Because I love Denver. Denver's cool.
Stephen A. He'll tell you what the worst case is.
Utah Denver.
Yeah.
This guy's complaining, and he gets an opportunity to have a front row seat at a Western Conference Final, and he's complaining about where they're going to play at.
The worst complaining never came out of my mouth, and I just said it's not the worst case scenario because I said I like Denver. And I like Utah. I
mean, so Utah, Denver. So you tell me that Suns, Clippers,
on a level of preferring, what would I prefer? That's a yes. Thank you for semantics,
Key. Did I word that the wrong way?
Thank you. Yes, you did. Yeah.
It's a writer word that the wrong
like,
way.
Like, hater, not being appreciative, yeah. Low management terms you used to describe me. I don't like it.
Which hotel would you prefer? Which city you would prefer your hotel to be in?
Suns, Clippers, please.
It would be nice, the Biltmore in Phoenix. That wouldn't be a bad place to visit.
So you don't want to be in a place in Utah or Denver is what you're saying?
I wouldn't mind.
No.
Okay. I'm happy to be here, Keyshawn.
Just want to make sure.
I'm happy to be here.
You could legally be very happy in Denver.
Yes.
Very, very happy.
Yes. Then he won't show up.
In Denver.
To work.
Well, it's not. See, we got to change that narrative.
But on the other side.
Show up to work and still.
You might oversleep.
Yeah, there you go. Might just not be as.
But on the other side, of course, is the Eastern Conference playoffs, and we looked at Nets Bucks as like what could be the most entertaining series of the Eastern Conference playoffs, regardless of where they are. And it didn't take a minute into Game One, where the concerns about the Nets were never about how good can they be. It's always about when healthy. James Harden leaves the game. He's now diagnosed after an MRI with what the team is calling right hamstring tightness, and he will not play in tonight's game two. Mm. Jay, is this – I guess they've already played without him for a lot of a big portion of the season. They went without him. But now we're in the playoffs and you're playing against the Bucks. Just rate, you know, how big of a loss this is for the Nets in this specific series.
I would say this is a 8 on a scale from 1 to 10, 8.
Okay.
8 loss.
Why?
Because James Harden is the guy that gets the continuity in the whole offensive scheme. Now, Brooklyn played incredibly well. I mean, KD, Kyrie went off.
Mm-hmm.
Guys stepped up when they played that game on Saturday against the Bucks. But if I'm the Bucks, you better win game two. Like, you had 7 days off, right? You came out. You could say, hey, we were a little bit lethargic. But now when you play them without James Harden, if Brooklyn Nets go up 2-0, without James Harden, and I know they're probably still slightly the favorite with KD and Kyrie, but look, man, like you got to get game two. You have to get game two if you're young. Because when James Harden comes back, that's a different dynamic, completely different dynamic. So without the head of the snake, with having Giannis, with having, you know, Bobby Portis, Bryn Forbes, PJ Tucker, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, you better win damn game two.
Well,
you have to win game two.
It's one less guy they got to cover, which we said. The hard part is you got two. Who else are you going to guard? And that's something that, of course, does even up the series even more. Steve Nash talked about the MRI on Harden and what it showed.
To be honest with you, tightness and most importantly is he's out for the next game. So we're preparing for tomorrow night as we ended up playing last night. And that's our focus, you know. For James, you know, we obviously are desperate for him to return. And he's a huge piece of what we do on our team. But at this point, I think it would be all guesswork to really understand. You know, he's had such a little, you know, up and down recent history with it that it's really hard to predict. And so let's hope for the best. But we can't really say anything too predictive or too definitive right now.
I just want to say that if, as long as they have two of the three, I think they'll be okay. You know, you give him an opportunity, a nagging hamstring injury, like Steve said, that has just been lingering and hanging around, and you don't take a chance on it. You get past game two, you get a little more rest. Now you go into game three, and you deal with it from that standpoint. And I think that that is the way that they need to handle it because they still got Kyrie and KD, man. I understand Giannis had 30 plus. I get all
Middleton
that.
Couldn't make a three for some reason.
Playoffs have gotten, you know, one game has kind of tightened a little bit on Middleton. But in the end, I think because you got a guy in KD and both in Kyrie that have been in playoff situations before where they've had to step up, that this is not a big deal to them. As long as they can stay healthy.
When they say tightness, it's not a strain. It's not a – you know what I mean? Like, it sounds like it's not as serious, though.
It's when it's tight, at any moment it can go. So, you know –
that's why they're being really careful.
That's why you got to be really careful with it, because you get that knot in there, and it needs to be rubbed out. It needs time. It needs to be loosened up, all of those sort of things. Whatever he's doing from an acupuncture standpoint to heat massage, whatever it may be, they got to get that knot out of it and make sure that – he doesn't, you know, strain it severely or tear it.
We're going back to Milwaukee. I think this series is going to be 1-1. I think the Bucks aren't going to shoot 20% from the three-point line. Like, this is also a team that when they get going offensively, like, they can score because they can space the floor. And it wasn't like I saw Brooklyn contesting a ton of shots. I saw Chris Middleton miss shots. I saw Milwaukee missed shots.
Nash said that after the game when people were crediting his defense. He's like, a lot of it was make or miss.
That's what
like
I'm saying.
Nash admitted
so
that.
So, like, it's – yeah, if you're saying, hey, a healthy James Harden, Kyrie, and KD can outscore a healthy Milwaukee team, yeah, I think that is possible. But just a KD and a Kyrie, I don't know if that's enough to outscore Milwaukee if Milwaukee's making shots.
Right, and that's normally what they've been doing all year. They're a really good three-point shooting team that just had a really awful three-point shooting night. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin coming to you live from the Seaport District to Pier 17, brought to you by Chase, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We still have a lot of calls on the Julio Jones trade, Key.
But you done started, man.
You know, Ed in Pennsylvania also believes you are wrong. Ed?
Ooh, get him, Ed.
I can't hear you, Ed.
This is Eric.
There he is.
This is Eric.
Ed, what's up?
My name's Eric from Pennsylvania.
We got you, Eric.
Eric.
They have you as Ed, but we got you, Eric. We got you.
You're all good, man. Yo, Key.
Yo, what up?
It's obvious you don't watch this Titans offense play.
No, I don't.
He just called you a casual?
No, I don't watch. I don't watch the NFL at all. I only watch high school football. But go ahead.
No, I'm saying the Tennessee Titans.
I don't watch them. Go ahead.
Last year, with the depleted offensive line, they had the King go for over 2,000 yards. They had A.J. Brown go for over 1,000. They had Corey Davis, Butterfingers, should have been over 1,000 yards. Now, if Julio Jones was on that Titans offense last year, during the playoffs, playing the Ravens,
preach, Eric.
He doesn't miss those passes.
Get him, Eric.
He doesn't drop them. They go on to play the next round because guess what? Yes, Henry got shut down in that game. A.J. Brown lit it up in the first half.
Tell him, Eric.
But they doubled him up. They stacked the box because they didn't have that second wide receiver that like
spitting hot fire,
players.
Eric.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, good stuff, Eric. It put
Eric.
Me in my place.
No, it's Eric.
Oh, Eric. I thought his name was Ed.
It's Eric.
Roy is in Alabama. And Roy also says that Key is wrong.
Where is
this.
He from?
Alabama.
And
this.
Where did Julio go to school?
Alabama.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Take it away,
Roy.
Hey, Key, I love you, brother. But I thought last week you mentioned that he was going to the Raiders, Patriots, or the Ravens.
No, I didn't mention the Ravens that. I said those teams would be good fits.
Yeah. I'm just salty this morning because we could have got him. Baltimore could have got him for a second, a third, and a crab cake. We could have got him, and he would have definitely been number one. So I wish that he would have went to Baltimore, but we got something for him. We got three good cornerbacks, and we'll take care of him for you, Key.
Great crab cakes in Maryland.
The
Titans.
Great crab. Chocolate covered cicadas? Yes, delicious.
The problem with him going to the Ravens is they've got expensive wide receivers. They got a future that they got to worry about in Hollywood. They just paid Sammy to come over there, and they drafted a kid. So – It's hard to fit into that room, that number that he has in terms of financial commitment. So I could see where the Ravens were like, yeah, but.
But the teams you were thinking about were more out west. Seattle, Rams, like they would have been.
More teams that need that style of wide receiver.
But those are two NFC teams, right? Well, so if you're Atlanta, you're like, let's get him into the other
but
conference.
But it depends on what Atlanta feels about their situation in terms of their team. If Atlanta feels like they got a chance to make it to the playoffs and make some noise, then you don't trade him to the NFC.
Right.
But if you feel like, well, it doesn't really matter, then you trade him.
It would probably
like
take
Atlanta's
a first.
Going more towards like the rebuilding route. Right?
Does it? So you trade him.
I mean,
how about you trade
him? Kyle
Pitts becomes
really,
now
their
main option, doesn't he?
I mean, Matt Ryan.
Calvin Ridley.
I understand, but I mean,
Matt Ryan kind of on the back end there.
He really his importance. Football? His importance does elevate, though. Kyle Pitts.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Elevates big time.
Yes, absolutely.
You really need production.
And
Arthur
Smith likes to use the tight ends, as we saw in Tennessee.
Right. So that's definitely, you know, again, when you're watching what's happening in Atlanta and you look at that division for them, is this a rebuild now or are they still?
We should hire Ed, man.
It's Eric.
It's Eric.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric. Oh, okay.
More of your calls on this, but coming up,
leave Eric
max
alone.
Contract, minimum production. We'll tell you who is doing that next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and on Sirius XM, Channel 80. The Mavericks may need to make some breaking moves around Luka this offseason. Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jay Will, take the ball. Let's go. Five down flex.
All right. Here we go.
Let's
kick some things off here with running the point. Mm-hmm. Let's start with number five.
Number five.
Maximum salary, minimum production.
Oh.
$30 million a year. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody over the last couple of games, we've had enough. And I understand this could be coaching. I understand people could say, well, Rick Carlisle needs to utilize him better within the offensive scheme. But whenever I saw Kristaps Porzingis catch the ball last night, it was like a hot pocket. Give it right back to Luka. Give it right back to Tim Hardaway Jr. Do you remember when this trade happened? A lot of people said, oh, Tim Hardaway Jr., he's the throw-in package. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it's kind of feeling like Porzingis was the throw-in part of the package here.
Ooh.
I mean, he's had single digits in playoff games. And I said at halftime, I said, hey, look, I understand Luka is the star of this team, but the highest paid player needs to show up in game seven. He did not do that. Porzingis, you will have marital issues within Dallas. I do not think he will be a Dallas Maverick for that much longer.
Really?
I just wonder what trade assets they can find in return from somebody.
Gave up two firsts. Two firsts for
injury
him.
Issues,
by the way,
ankle, knee, a lot of questions around Porzingis.
10 shot attempts per game in the seven-game series. Only 10. Tim Hardaway Jr. averaged 17 a game on 14 shot attempts. Is it that for Porzingis, it's not easy to play with Luka?
We won't get into rebounding issues, too. I mean, there's some, four rebounds,
five a game, but yes. How about zero? How about under one block a game? This was a guy that the reason why Kevin Durant called him a unicorn was because he averaged not only, 20 points a game, not only shot over, a high percentage from three-point range, but he also averaged over a block a game. You know, which is why KD said this guy's a unicorn. He's doing things that you've never seen before in the league. Well, he's not doing it in Dallas.
Maybe he's still hurt from the past, man. Maybe he just
his mobility defensively is shot.
Yeah, maybe he's not fully healthy like that anymore.
Yeah. How do the Knicks fans feel now? Feeling pretty good about it.
That second first round pick right now.
Feeling good about it.
Number 19, number 21.
Bring it back.
Maybe they knew something.
Okay.
I still hate the trade though.
Number four. Next wave. We're witnessing it, my friends. And we haven't talked about it yet, and I'll get into it. But names like Trae Young, mm-hmm. put it on the show. Mm-hmm. Names like Donovan Mitchell,
yep.
show. Devin Booker,
yep.
show. Michael Porter Jr., a guy that would have been the first pick in the draft if he didn't go through injuries, starting to put on a show with guys like Jokic in Denver. You know, he asked for it a couple of years ago. Remember when Jamal Murray was doing his thing? He was like, look, I like to get the ball. He's been getting the ball, been averaging like 20 points, been putting on a show. This is the next wave of the NBA. So as much as people say, we don't have Steph, we don't have LeBron, we don't have big – we still have some names like Kawhi Leonard, KD, James Harden, Kyrie in the playoffs, but this next wave is coming in a really big way.
Time to get to know some new faces.
Yes, get to know their stories. Number three. Dame time to recruit. Now, I originally had this in Dame time for a new coach. Damn time for a new coach. Mm-hmm. Dame time for a new coach. I think a guy – Chauncey Billups will get this job, but this is not going to be the biggest move that the Portland Trailblazers franchise is going to need to make. The LeBron James model is out, guys. It's time. We are no longer in the world where best players in the world are saying, I want to go play with Dame. We're in a world now where if you're going to be the best player in the team, you need to go recruit guys who you want to rock with. Dame needs to be in the DMs. I don't care what anybody needs to say. Star players are the ones who can dictate where they want to be. You don't hear a star player say, well, I want to go play with Monty Williams as a head coach. No. You hear a star player say, I want to go rock with Devin Booker. You know why? Devin Booker and I have been connecting. I've been spending time with Devin Booker in all season. We've been working out together. Damn, I ride with the way Devin Booker rocks. Okay, great.
And now we pick our coach.
Mm-hmm. It's the same for Dame. I understand we used to live in a world where it's like, who wants to rock out with me? That was that whole male egocentric, oh, I'm the guy, I'm the alpha. Who's going to come with me? Now it's like, no, who can I connect with? It's time for Dame to start recruiting if he wants to stay in Portland. Because if he doesn't start recruiting, then Portland's not going to be answered for your Dame. You're going to need to go somewhere else.
There's a belief he's going somewhere else.
Well, he already started recruiting. He got turned down.
Yeah, J. Kidd.
He already started the recruiting process.
Yeah, you got to start that yesterday. Yeah.
You got to do it. You got to do it. Got to double, triple down. That's number three. Number two.
Number two.
Playoff Glenn.
Oh. Who?
Playoff Glenn. Or Doc.
Oh, no.
This is a legit question. And I had it yesterday when we were watching the opening minutes of the Hawks 76ers game. I saw Danny Green on Trae Young. And all I talked about leading up to the game was, okay, you have a guy like Ben Simmons who's up for Defensive Player of the Year. He's a finalist. You have a guy like Matisse Thybulle, 6'5", 6'11", wingspan. Your best defenders. They need to start on Trae. Because if Trae gets going, that's going to be a problem for you. I saw Danny Green start on Trae. And then it brought me back to, I'm like, oh, I think Doc did this before. When they were up 3-1 with the Clippers, and he left Montrezl Harrell on Nikola Jokic. And Jokic just started abusing him. And Doc doubled, tripled down, stayed with Trez on Jokic. And now I'm watching the same mistake. And I watched Trae annihilate them. And then I watched Kevin Huerter. I watched Bogdanovich. Them shoot threes. Now, granted, 76ers got back in the ball game, but, Doc, we need to see changes in game two. And I got nothing but love and respect for Danny Green. He comes on the show. But at this stage of Danny Green's career, you can't ask him to be the primary ball defender on Trae Young, because once Trae Young gets going, that's a problem.
Did they underestimate Trae Young? Even watching the film of the Knicks, did they think, man, we got it. We got Danny Green. Danny Green, notoriously, you know, good defensive player throughout his career. Notorious, not the right word, but that's what I meant. He's been a good defender, right? And they thought maybe he can handle it, we'll help out, and it just failed miserably until the end. When all they started doing was trapping him, and he turned the ball over a ton late and almost gave the game away.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm like, towards the end, when you have, you know, Matisse Thybulle on him, or we have Ben Simmons on that size and that length,
bigger.
You can play off of him.
Right.
You can contest his shot later. And then when it comes off ball screens, all right, force Bogdanovich to beat us. force Kevin Herter to beat us. Force him to be 2-point scores.
By the time you contest, the ball's in the air and gone, though. That's the problem.
I hear you, but my problem is when you had Danny Green on him, like, you know how this key, like, when you get a rhythm, when you get a flow to the game, now by the time you try to put Matisse Thybulle on him later in the first quarter, I'm already cooking.
Plus, what's more important for you on the offensive end is to use that energy of Ben Simmons up so when we get on the offensive end, he ain't got nothing left? I mean, is that
– Yeah, but, I mean, I want Ben Simmons running, pushing, attacking. I want – Ben Simmons, this is why you were here. This is why you were here. You're a great defensive player, and you're a PG-first mentality. Go guard their team's best player. I don't know why Doc didn't do that.
Yeah, the thing about Ben Simmons that's strange in some of these games that we're seeing in the postseason. Regular season, he's just an impactful player. But in the postseason, you're always waiting for him to do something. Right? And he's not a scorer. So because he's not that kind of scorer.
That's why you're here.
Sort of like, well, where are you impacting the game? And I've seen him impact the game defensively at an elite level. But in this game, it didn't happen until the fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, he's an attacker. He's a driver.
He's an attacker. Yeah. But – it's just you just didn't see him impact the game until the fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there he is. But, Jay, can they play that way?
Yes.
48? Are you kidding? Really?
Yes.
All right.
They're going to have to. They're not going to have a choice.
You got one more, so go ahead.
All right.
Number one.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk that they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move the list, but a bunch of gibberish, and everybody forgot about Trey.
Bars. Okay.
Forgot about Trey.
Okay.
I want to go back to this whole big thing that we had on draft night, where Travis Link made the deal, and they got Trae Young, and everybody's sitting there talking about Luka Doncic, and everybody loves to compare. And I put out a poll yesterday on my Twitter. I said, now knowing what you know, how do you feel about it? Do you like the move, or do you still not like the move? And I got overwhelming majority said they still rather have Luka. I'm sitting here saying, if I'm Atlanta, I'm cool. I am great.
Yeah.
Because I built the right team
That's
around
key.
Trae Young. I haven't seen Dallas build the right team around Luka. So I give Travis Link a lot of credit for the Hawks because they've surrounded him with pieces like Bogdanović, which was a huge missing link because the Bucks originally had Bogdanović.
And they blew it.
Now the Hawks do. The Hawks have Jonathan Collins. Huge, right? Caught more lobs and made more threes. There's only two other players that have probably made more in the past 25 years, right? The pieces that they have around Trae with the way he's playing – with having Nate McMillan. And I'll tell you this, because the story this year before was that Trae was a volume shooter. And that was a lot of issues that they had between Trae and Lloyd Pierce, their head coach. They let go of Lloyd Pierce. They got Nate McMillan, a guy who actually Trae listens to. You can tell by the attention that he gives him in timeouts. And it's unlocked Trae to a different degree. So when you want to go back to this debate, throw it out the window, because I don't care. Because what I'm watching the Hawks do right now, they built the right team around Trae Young. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. A coach in the front office saying, here's my star player, and here's how I'm going to maximize my star player with the right pieces around him. And we have not seen that yet in Dallas. Drop the mic on this argument.
But I would think that when you look at it, though, from a building standpoint, sometimes you get star players like Luka, and because he's a star, you don't think that you have to build around him at the level that you have to build around Trae. You understand what I'm saying? Like, Trae is one thing. So, you know, you look at that and you go, well, he can't carry us. We need to put other pieces around him. Well, you got Luka, and you look
too.
There and you say, okay, Porzingis is here. What else do we got? Luka's a big enough star player that he'll be able to push us up. We look at him like a LeBron James. We look at him
high tide raises
like
all boats. Yeah.
Huh?
High tide raises all boats.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
That's kind of what. So what if Luka was in Atlanta? Do Atlanta build it around him the same, or is he in the same situation that he is in Dallas where they're not building around him and Dallas builds around Trae because he's there?
Can I make it clear? Mm-mm. You're taking Luka 10 times out of 10, always, right?
Yes.
Always.
Yeah.
But Atlanta does not have to regret the trade if you build it properly.
Yes.
You still have a talented player,
yes,
and you built it better than Dallas did around Luka, let's be honest. You did a better job building that team around what you have. It's never about, okay, the trade was made, and you can look back and think, all right, you didn't get the better player, but we have the better situation.
Hmm. LeBron James, Luka, Young, right?
People similar, yes.
Think about LeBron early in his career. Cleveland didn't have knees and U's out there playing.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
So that speaks to my point is he's such a just a alpha dog that is kind of like they believe that he could take them to the next step without putting all this stuff around him. Now, I'm sure this offseason they're going to wind up doing some stuff to maybe get him one or two players that could go along with him to help him finish the deal.
It is, again, that is going to be a debate for a while between those two, but one is playing and one is done playing right now in the playoffs. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. So Julio goes from one Ryan to another. We'll discuss that after SportsCenter.
Here's Leonard with it against Porzingis. Exploded to his right, now pulls back beyond the arc. Finds Morris open, corner three on its way. It's good with a minute 15 to go. On an afternoon, the Clippers finally found their three-point shot. Two big hits in the last 2 minutes to take the lead by 13.
Clippers certainly found something. Mark Kesicher with the call on ESPN Radio as L.A. beats the Mavericks 126-111 in Game 7 of the first round to eliminate Dallas from the playoffs for the second straight year. The Clippers advance to the Western Conference semifinals, where they'll face the top-seeded Utah Jazz. Kawhi Leonard, 28 points on 10 of 15 shooting. The fourth player in NBA history to score 200 points on 60% shooting in a single playoff series. He joins Shaq, Bernard King, and the captain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. In the NFL, the Falcons trade star wide receiver Julio Jones to the Titans in exchange. Tennessee will send a 2022 second-round pick, a 2023 fourth-round pick to Atlanta. Along with Jones, Atlanta will send a 2023 sixth-round pick to the Titans. Now, since his rookie season, Julio Jones leads the NFL with 58 100-yard receiving games. The Titans, as a team, have had 50 100-yard receiving games in that same span. Patrick Cantlay defeats Colin Morikawa on the first playoff hole to win the Memorial Tournament. This is after John Rahm was forced to withdraw after testing positive for COVID-19 on Saturday. Now, Cantlay earned his fourth PGA Tour victory, second this season, becoming the fourth player with multiple wins this season. But Rahm had a six-shot lead when he was forced to withdraw following the third round. Had Rahm been able to play on Sunday, he would have needed only a four-over par 76 to win by one shot. What a story that was. SportsCenter brought to you by Indeed. If you're hiring this summer, you'll need Indeed. With Indeed Instant Match, just post a sponsored job and you'll immediately get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit.
Hey.
By the reaction of the callers, Keyshawn is wrong about Julio Jones and this trade to the Titans.
I'm not wrong about Julio Jones. I'm
wrong about the trade. The Titans trading.
I'm not wrong about Julio.
For him. But it is something that has become a major call topic that we will continue with. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Well, let's bring in one of our ESPN NFL reporters, Jeff Darlington, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline.
JD.
Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Good morning, Jeff. So the callers are going after Key about this trade to the Titans, feeling like Julio Jones going to the Titans, Julio, they're not using him properly. He's going to be a blocker. That's exactly what they've already talked about. What is your reaction to seeing this move for the Titans?
I agree with whatever Keyshawn says, first of all. I have no idea what he said.
Well played.
But it's just easier. Like, it does. It gives me less anxiety, more peace of mind if I just agree with Keyshawn. What did Keyshawn say? What did Keyshawn say?
You're so stupid, man. No, I just questioned.
I'm dead serious.
Jeff, I just questioned the usage, the style in which they're going to play. Getting a guy like this who has been a one his entire career in a pass-oriented offense, now going to a heavy run-dominant offense, what are you going to do? Like, you're spending all this money to have a shiny piece. Do you know how to drive it?
So I do agree with that in all seriousness. And based on my conversations, that is – like, a concern – it's a first-world problem. Like, I think that there is legitimacy to the question, though, of how Julio Jones fits into this offense and – for a Titans team who likes to do all these breaks toward the middle of the field, like, what's going to happen when Julio is up against some of these safeties in the league? Is he going to embrace that role? knowing that AJ is on the other side and probably will continue in the role that he has succeeded in. So, like, I think that there are questions to that. I mean, we're talking about a team, you know, that, again, like, they had a guy in Corey Davis who had 500-yard games last year and was a really successful piece. So I don't think this is just plug and play. I mean, we went through this with Odell Beckham Jr. too, by the way. I'm sure people would have blasted you then, Key, if you had said, you know, is Odell going to fit into the Browns offense seamlessly? Everybody would have said, yes, of course he is. He's a talented guy. But it's not just, it's, you can't just have a paper roster. It's not that easy. That being said, I do feel like the Titans know that they added a talented piece, and if they get creative enough, that they can have success with this dynamic.
Yeah, Jay, they added a talented piece. I just never played the position, so, you know.
We're just playing fantasy football.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing here.
But, Jeff, here is my point. You know, at this stage of Julio's career, I understand he may not get targeted the way he would have thought he could have got targeted in other locations. But having a big wide receiver right. like that alongside A.J. Brown, it makes you have to defend that offense a little bit differently, even though people say they're going to be one-dimensional, just run the ball. And don't you bring him there for big game moments, considering that the way A.J. played last year, 1,000 yards, Corey Davis could have 1,000 yards. Now you plug Julio Jones in that offense. Doesn't that ramp up the offense to a different degree?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are making, like, both – I mean, the exact – points that will be such, you know, intriguing storylines about this addition. Like, I think both of those are completely valid. And that is why, ultimately, not only were the Titans willing to give up the second round pick, which feels like not that much, but they're willing to take on his contract. And again, this is a team that I think added Julio not merely as a luxury piece. Like, I think they actually added him as a necessity because they did lose Corey Davis, who did have nearly 1,000 yards last season. So it's not like they could just go into this year and expect AJ and Derek to just carry the team to a Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, it does make sense. And look, here's the other side of it. Like, I look at it, you know, like, well, why weren't 31 other teams willing to give up more than, like,
right.
than the Titans ultimately had to give up, which is probably a late second-round pick? But then I think back to, like, when Randy Moss in, what was it, 2007? Got traded, yeah, I think 07, got traded to the Patriots for a fourth-round pick. Mm. So, like, sometimes when something seems kind of ridiculous on the surface, like, it proves to be just that. And maybe Julio will prove that this was an absolute slam dunk for the Titans when he goes out. And if he can stay healthy, big if, can stay healthy, and is a prominent piece for the Titans offense.
So, Jeff, where does this put the Titans in the AFC?
So, again, like, I have a lot of respect for the Titans. Personally, I feel like they're 2A, 2B with the Bills behind the Chiefs in the AFC. Like, I still think that they're a better all-around team than the Browns, which I know Cleveland fans get on me every time I suggest that. But, like, we've seen them succeed the last two seasons and seemingly get better. Again, I would have had them probably lower than the Bills going into the season because they lost, for instance, Corey Davis. They lost a key piece on offense that I think people underrate. So this, I think, gets them back, though, into that conversation for sure about winding up in that AFC Championship game to try to take on the Chiefs.
Jeff, I want to hear you debate Swagoo about that because you know what he said about the Browns and that roster being top to bottom, the best in the AFC. Before I ask another question to you, do you have Tecmo Bowl or Blades of Steel behind you with that Nintendo? I've been wanting to ask this for like a month.
Man, I don't have Tecmo. I think like Tecmo Bowl, remember when you used to like lend out games to your friends? And like, I think it got lost in one of those. No, I don't think I ever got it back. It's like, it's not even like my favorite games, but it's like Adventure of Link. The Super Mario Bros. 3 was pretty good.
Okay.
That was solid.
I'll take it.
Jordan versus Bird.
Oh, that's
Metroid,
a good one.
Tetris.
All right.
Super Mario Brothers, Commando, and Spy Hunter.
No Blades of Steel, though.
It's just kind of actually what was just in the box.
Blades of Steel.
But it still does work.
All right.
Love Blades of Steel.
As Jeff in the shot has his Nintendo right behind him, so I just had a memory. And I just said to myself, one of these days I'm going to ask him, and this was the opportunity to ask you. But now, of course, all the producers are scratching. They have hives growing on them. It's been about an hour and a half into the show. We have not talked about Aaron Rodgers yet. So let me ask you about Aaron Rodgers. And again, another team that maybe could have traded for Julio Jones, maybe that could have been a way to extend the olive branch to Aaron Rodgers, but clearly they did not do that. So the daily where is this thing going thing, it does feel like the Packers are ready to just move on without him and let him stay in Hawaii and maybe consider being a game show host.
So I actually, I don't know that we're there yet. I'm probably, you know, I'm always one of these romantics who thinks things will get worked out. And by all means, like Mark Murphy, the CEO of the organization, is not necessarily doing things that evoke a lot of optimism in that sense. I mean, he's got this newsletter that he writes, which I didn't know, like, CEOs do this. I don't know if you guys know this, but he wrote this, like, letter basically saying that Aaron Rodgers has divided the fan base, or the Aaron Rodgers situation has divided the fan base, which just to me also feels like, no, I would imagine Green Bay probably all wants Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. However you want to make that divisive talking point, I think is going to just further create more divide between the organization and Aaron Rodgers. But to me, it's not about, like, for instance, the OTAs. Like, the fine that he gets imposed upon him for OTAs is about $93,000. I think that's very digestible, but for Aaron Rodgers in this situation, it's training camp for me that becomes the real trigger point. Because one thing we should point out about the new CBA is that he'll get fined $50,000 a day for training camp. And it used to be that if you held out, you guys would, you know, kumbaya at the end of the holdout and forgive the missed days and those fines. You can't do that anymore. The CBA makes it so that you literally have to keep that fine imposed. It's mandatory. So 10 days of training camp is $500,000. And that doesn't even get you the first preseason game. So this is a real thing when training camp hits in terms of finable money. To me, that becomes sort of the point where these two sides have to say, okay, are we going to find a way to make this work, or is it true? Is this real? Do we really need to send Aaron Rodgers elsewhere?
Right,
so to me, this is going to drag on for another month or so.
Yeah, it's all fun and games till somebody starts losing money, right, Jeff? Thanks so much for the time, as always.
Real money,
I'll try to send you a Blazer steal for your collection.
All right, Jeff, thank you for agreeing with me, by the way.
Jeff Darlington on the Goodyear Hotline. So coming up, more on Rodgers and why he's dividing the fan base and what Mark Murphy said to the fans about it. That's after Key has this from Straight Talk.
It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like a walk-off home run in the ninth inning, good? Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good with Straight Talk. You can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys. Plus, no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot, Jay, when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
Listen, it is going to take a miracle for Aaron Rodgers to play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
I love Aaron Rodgers, don't get me wrong. But it's time to go, it's time to go. You can't let one sour apple spoil the rest of that because he doesn't want to be there.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, man. See, I was about to say something, and I heard this song, and I need to just hear it now. It feels good. Time. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Also brought to you by Mako. With Mako, their magic. Your car is no longer tragic. If life throws you uh-ohs, just say better get Mako and head to Mako.com to get an online estimate today. So you heard Jeff Darlington reference it, and that is Mark Murphy, who does a monthly column, newsletter kind of thing on the Packers website on the first Saturday of every month. He writes about a topic of interest and then answers fan questions that you can email to him. So, of course, they're selected. So he discussed some kind of off-season workout program, all this collective bargaining stuff, blah, blah, blah. Then come the questions. And one of the questions that is, or one of the points made to him with a question is from a guy named Ken. And it says, "Dear Mark, you've done a great job. Don't let the Bastages drag you down. Washington," then he goes, "Washington needs a name. I suggest Generals." All right, just random question. Just giving a little support, and then let's talk some Washington football team. His response is this. "Thanks, Ken. The situation we face with Aaron Rodgers has divided our fan base." What reference to Aaron Rodgers was in that question? Anyways, he continues, "The emails and letters that I've received reflect this fact. As I wrote here last month, we remain committed to resolving things with Aaron, and we want him to be our quarterback in 2021 and beyond. We're working to resolve the situation and realize that the less both sides say publicly, the better." And then he talks about, with regard to Washington, blah, blah, blah. He likes the general's names already taken. Nobody cares. Anyways. First of all, A, why use that to reference? Clearly, he wanted to say something about Aaron Rodgers, even though he said the less said publicly, the better. Second, what do you take by what he said about dividing the fan base?
Well, what he's doing right there to me is rallying the fan base against Aaron Rodgers. That's what he's doing. He's making it seem as though Aaron Rodgers is the one who's at fault and has fans torn. So now they could be mad at him. And then obviously more fans are going to come that way. And it also says to me that there's two things right there. They either going to make him sit and force his hand to come in, or they're going to trade him and realize that, and it's all going to fall on Aaron either way. That's kind of what he's saying. It's like, it's Aaron's fault. It's Aaron's fault that this is happening. He didn't say we are in a mess that is now dividing our fans. He didn't say that. He said Aaron is the one dividing the fans.
And it's something that Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers for us at ESPN, told us last week.
I'm not sure the sentiment right now is all that pro-Rodgers, in the sense that Rodgers doesn't want to be here. And people, I don't care what team you root for, but it's especially this way in Green Bay because it's such a small town. If you don't want to be here, people don't want you here. Like that is, it's a very provincial place. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be here, he all of a sudden goes from one of them to one of the others.
That's a strong statement there. He also mentioned how they have signs on the lawns, you know, all around Titletown that says, you know, "Go Pack," which is like, that's what they say.
Go
Pack. And it
pack,
says, "Hey, Aaron, go pack," meaning, you know.
Go pack your bags.
Right. Get your stuff out of here, which, again, is mind-boggling to me to think about. A guy who just won MVP and is as great as he is and as long as he's been great and has led them to, you know, conference finals now these last couple of years, and fans are already ready to move on because he's not happy. And clearly the team is rooting for that, stoking those flames to save them from what would be egg on their face if they do have to trade them.
Think about it. It's kind of hard to blame the organization in this situation just because from a standpoint of wins and losses, they've been in the win category on the plus side for the last several years.
Right.
So it's easy for them to say, "We put everything around them. What do you mean you're mad because we didn't do that?" Yes, no, look, we've been in the NFC Championship
So this
game.
Is about Jordy Nelson and Jordan Love. Like, this is more about that than it is about how much talent is around him?
To Aaron. But if I'm the organization, which the organization is probably doing, is showing the fan base, we win. We're winning here. He's trying to divide this up. This is Aaron's fault. Aaron is the one who's doing this, not us.
We didn't say we didn't want him. We've given him everything.
Mm-hmm. We've given him everything. We drafted a backup quarterback because clearly you see our backup quarterbacks in the past when we played with Brent Huntley and Kaiser. It didn't work out. We're just trying to make things better. That's what's happening.
What would you do at this point if you're the player?
Would you come out anyway, man?
You don't care. You'd say nothing. Go ahead. Let them just soil my name. I don't care.
Yeah, my representatives will send my message to the team and the organization about what it is that I want to do.
Okay, he talked about you saw all that stuff he was saying about, you know, it was about character and culture
and all that stuff. I don't need to talk to anybody.
It made it sound like the Packers have some internal issues, but they're saying, no, you're the one with the issue. And they still have to resolve it. And, again, as Darlington said, this is going to last a while.
And for a star quarterback not to be at OTAs?
Means something. James Harden has the injury, so who's the one star the Nets now can't afford to lose? We'll discuss next.